Well, Andrew Socek, it is Thursday, October 18th, 2018. It's our last 10 p.m. Eastern live cast because we are going to try to see what we can do next week when Impact goes after dark, as they called it over and over again tonight. But what was your reaction to this episode of Impact? You know, it's kind of funny. There's so much stuff going on. I'm not sure we're going to talk much about this episode because there's a lot of news happening outside of this episode. But I guess let's first start with the TV show. What was your reaction to the first show after Bound for Glory?
Unfortunately, I would say it was pretty flat. There wasn't a lot of bad things like there has been in previous weeks. But any momentum from Bound for Glory, it just didn't feel that strong. The crowd wasn't as hot. The matches weren't as hot. There wasn't any big angles really to kick off the next chapter of storylines. Except the main event, which just felt kind of flat to me. I did enjoy the main event. I thought they put on a good show. I didn't find much here to really get into. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought the biggest thing that fell flat was the fact that they didn't address the Austin Aries situation.
Yes.
I mean, my Lord, that was the biggest story. On Monday, that may have been the biggest story in wrestling. I mean, yeah, the Crown Jewel stuff was dominating the headlines for a while. But I was driving around in my car for most of the day on Monday, and I was listening to Busted Open on Sirius XM with Bully Ray. They did 3 hours on Bound for Glory. And whether or not that Austin Aries thing was a shoot, was it a work? I mean, that was the biggest story in wrestling for at least 2 days. And I think that there were some people that probably tuned in tonight to see what the hell happened. Because the story was the match and Johnny Impact wins the title. But it became an afterthought. The story was, what did Austin Aries just do? Did we see something that was not supposed to happen? Was it Austin Aries being Austin Aries, or was it Austin Aries playing his character? They didn't address it. I mean, they didn't even mention it. That's mind-boggling to me. Even if on Monday night when they taped it, they didn't know that it was going to be a big story, dub something over in commentary. Have Don Callis talk about it. I mean, geez, have anybody talk about it. I mean, it was the biggest story coming out of the pay-per-view. And with the exception of, like, Johnny Impact dropping a couple of little one-liners during his promo, they didn't mention any of it. It's just that was absolutely stunning to me that they didn't even mention what had gone. Even if it was a shoot and Austin Aries was legitimately upset when he left, you'd think that they would mention something, you know, address it somehow, some way, for the people that have tuned in to figure out what was going on, to give them at least something to maybe come back for next week. I'm stunned at the fact that they barely mentioned it on the show.
Yeah, that really did seem to suck the energy out of everything, because, you know, we did the show on Sunday night, and just like my mind was blown. Like, that was the most interested I'd been in the promotion in quite some time, and just not having that follow up in any substantial way was just a downer. They really could have capitalized that on that somewhat, and they didn't even bother. And it made me think of, if it was a shoot,
tonight, by the way, I think the fact that they didn't mention it at all tonight means that it is.
Yeah, I think so too. And, I'm definitely leaning more in that direction. Kind of how, like, when Steve Austin didn't show up for Raw and Vince McMahon just buried him on air. Like, they could have done that. Just had Johnny Impact tear into him, because if it's a shoot, never bring the guy back. Like, you can't trust him. So Johnny Impact should have just buried him and called him a coward, called him every name in the book, and gotten something out of it, I don't know, or at least given us some closure to it. But it just felt weird overall, like Killer Cross and Moose, just there was something missing to the entire show, it felt like.
Yeah, I'm really shocked that they didn't mention it at all and didn't react to it in any type of way. Because like you said, you could do anything. I mean, if it was a shoot, fine. And I think that this leads me to believe that it probably was. Because, I mean, look at – the reason I say that is look at Chris Jericho. I mean, they've been teasing Chris Jericho for the past 3 months, and he never showed up at the pay-per-view. So if they're not going to be shy about teasing a guy that's never going to show up, why would they be shy about mentioning Austin Aries if he was never going to come back? You know what I mean? Why would they be so afraid of offending Austin Aries by mentioning him if he was a shoot, if they're not afraid to mention Chris Jericho and his name, you know, every week since July? If it's a work, I don't know why they wouldn't have mentioned it tonight. If it was a work, I don't think they would have been able to help themselves but to mention it tonight in some way, shape, or form. So this tells me that it was legitimate, that something happened. And also, I had made some I didn't make any phone calls. I sent some text messages earlier this week and some DMs on Twitter to some people that I thought would know. And the word is, and I don't know if this is true. This is information that was brought to my attention. And again, it's from more than one person. But it sounds like there were plans for him to do something at television on Monday and Tuesday. He never. This is a we don't get in often into spoilers, but spoiler alert. He was not at the tapings Monday or Tuesday, from what I understand. But I was also told that there were plans in place. Like the TV was written ahead of Sunday night, which makes sense. They're going in for pay-per-view on Sunday. There's probably at least a rough idea of what they're going to do Monday and Tuesday. You can't just start writing TV, Monday morning for a taping that's going to happen Monday night. So my understanding is that there were plans in place for him to do something at television. I don't know what, but somebody said that he did have something to do at television, and now those plans were scrapped, and he wasn't at the show. He wasn't at either taping. And he was done. And then I don't know if you heard Pete Williams' podcast earlier this week. I think it dropped yesterday. He was the agent for that match. And according to Pete Williams, Austin Aries' last night in the company was Sunday. That his contract was up, and he didn't have anything to do after that, and he was done with Impact Wrestling. That doesn't make sense to me either. I think that's what they're saying. And look, I'm not I'm not disparaging Pete Williams here, but I don't know if he was told to say that or what. It just seems really odd to me that Sunday would have been his last night in the company, and Monday and Tuesday he's not under contract and he's not there. So instead of a contract ending on, October 1st or September 30th, it ended on October 14th. That was the last day. It just seems like too much of a coincidence. And look, I mean, I guess theoretically it could have expired September 30th and they had him sign an extension to the pay-per-view or something like that. I'm not ruling out that Petey Williams isn't telling the truth. It just seems far-fetched to me. I think it's a legitimate issue. I think that Aries unexpectedly got up and did what he did and flipped off Don Callis and, kind of took a crap on Johnny Impact just winning the title. And I think it was legitimate. I don't know what – I'm just surprised they didn't acknowledge it still, even if it is legitimate. Like you said, I mean, it's the hottest story. It was literally the biggest talking point about the pay-per-view. And they completely ignored it tonight, which I thought was a mistake. I think it's a lost opportunity because I think you get the people that would have tuned in tonight to get something out of that are now just go, well, they didn't mention it, so it's done with. I'm not going to watch anymore. And I get it. Like, it's tough. What can you say if Austin Aries isn't going to come back? But like you said, even if Johnny Impact went out there and just cut like a scathing promo, which, by the way, Austin Aries did to him 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
And completely dressed him down. So here's Johnny Impact's opportunity to go out and do the same thing. Like, tell Johnny Impact, say, hey, Johnny, go out there and just bury this guy like he did to you a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, he's not going to come back. But at least the people who are tuning in to see some type of reaction from what happened at the pay-per-view, you're going to give them something. Instead, they just kind of swept it under the rug, which was like so... like 1995 WWF or like something controversial happens and they just let's pretend it never happened.
Yeah, it was bizarre because Johnny Impact basically just alluded to it. He was like, that last guy that held the title, yeah, he wouldn't defend it or whatever he said. He should have came right out and said whatever he wanted to say. That could have been a really memorable moment for him. It would have let people who tuned in people who tuned in were looking for answers, and that would have given some answers, and he could have had his big moment. Instead, he cut that promo that it wasn't terrible, but it was just kind of his usual awkward, kind of dorky style, which is fine, but he could have really done something memorable. If Austin Aries is really gone, this is going to be tough for them because he was pretty easily their MVP ever since he came back. Yeah, their most featured guy, the guy who cut their best promos. He could always be counted on in the ring. So I just watching the show tonight, I'm like, who's the top guy now? Everything just doesn't feel as important. Who is Johnny Impact going to face in the coming months? Who can they have step up into that role? Because it sure doesn't look like Killer Cross, since it took him 35 minutes to beat Tommy Dreamer with a distraction. So they have a lot of work to do. I mean, personally, if it's a shoot, don't bring back Austin Aries, because that was highly unprofessional. Yeah. But I don't know what else to do, because this roster badly needs some top-level heels right now.
Yeah, I mean, their biggest heel right now is probably Sami Callihan. And yeah, it looks like Sami Callihan is probably going to feud with Brian Cage. That's what was being alluded to, and you know, he pinned Cage at the pay-per-view, so I think we're going to see Sami Callihan go after Brian Cage for the X Division title. So yeah, you're right. That leaves who against Austin Aries? Who against Johnny Impact? Honestly, it's probably Moose. Unless they change course. I mean, I think Callihan would be better in that spot, but you know, maybe they have plans for Cage and Callihan and they don't want to break those plans. But yeah, I mean, the top end of the roster, they've got some good matches they can put together. There's no question about it. Like Phoenix versus Johnny Impact next week for the world title, I think is going to be awesome. Pentagon versus Johnny Impact one-on-one would be awesome. Cage versus Johnny Impact, I think, would be a good match. Sami Callihan against Johnny Impact would be a good match. Eddie Edwards versus Johnny Impact would be a good match. I mean, there's plenty of good matches that they could put together, some of them babyface, but there's plenty of good matches that they could feature Johnny Impact in for the world title, or defending the world title. But yeah, there's really not like a strong heel the way that Austin Aries was. He was really the only one.
Yeah, I tend to look forward to their pay-per-views, just like booking them in my mind or trying to predict, just because there's so few of them. The next one is in Nashville in January, and what are they going to do? I mean, all I can really think of right now is turn Pentagon heel.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a great choice, just because Pentagon is also one of the few guys over on the roster from a face point. I mean, they need everything. They need tag teams. They need more women. That main event scene just took a big loss with Austin Aries, and that Aries Impact feud finally heated up and finally got good. And then he's gone potentially. So during a time when they're moving to a new time slot, during a time when tens of thousands of people have abandoned, this is really bad. So I'm a little nervous for them and how they are going to fill this TV time in the coming months.
Well, speaking of things that are really bad, I'll use that as a transition. For those that don't know, we announced this on the live cast on Sunday night after Bound for Glory, but we are going to try to keep doing this after Impact's on Thursdays. Impact next week moves to 10 p.m. Eastern, so the show will air from 10 to 12 Eastern time. I am in the Eastern time zone. Andrew, you were in the Central time zone, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So you have a little bit better than me, but still a late night for you as well.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to keep doing this as a post-game show. It's going to be a work in progress. I think we're going to see how it goes. It's very possible that we decide, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in, hey, this is way too late, we can't do this, and we'll change it up and do something else. But we're going to try to keep this as an Impact post-show on Thursday nights after they go off the air. So that's the plan. We're at least going to give it a trial run and see how it goes. We are going to make some adjustments, though. We'll continue to take calls, but it'll have to be abbreviated. You know, we're not going to take long form phone calls the way we have kind of now. The phone calls are going to have to be a lot quicker, because we're going to try to make the show a lot quicker. I think we're going to look at, you know, 45 minutes, an hour tops. So that's going to be kind of the plan. So if you want to keep calling in, you can do so next week after the show. We'll still take calls, but like I said, they're going to have to be a little more rapid fire, just because there's going to be less time. We're not going to do the every once in a while, Andrew, we'll go to like an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes. Those shows won't be happening at midnight Eastern. So, you know, I think the sweet spot would be like a nice 45-minute show, react to what had happened, react to the news, and then kind of go from there. It takes some phone calls in rapid-fire succession. So that's going to be the plan for next week. If you want to give us a call tonight, you can do so at 515-605-9345. Some other news. Let's hit on a piece of good news before we go into another piece of news. And that is, they announced the signing tonight of Jordynne Grace, who I am very excited about. I was actually pleasantly surprised by this. I didn't expect it. Also, I'm not sure that they were going to announce this tonight, because they aired the little vignette She wasn't mentioned in the vignette at all. It was just kind of a silhouette of a woman, and then it said coming soon, and then Josh Matthews said Jordan Grace, who obviously had her name value, I think, exploded. Wrestling fans knew who she was before All In, but her name value really exploded after All In. She was in the over-budget Battle Royal. She had a run-in with Brian Cage, where I think Cage gave her a buckle bomb in the middle of the match, which was a big featured spot. So, yeah, I think this is a really good signing for them and a really good addition for them. I think, you look at the top of that women's division now with Taya Valkyrie and Tessa Blanchard and Jordynne Grace, and that's a pretty kick-ass women's division.
Not bad at all. Yeah, I mean, that is the only work of hers I've seen is that Battle Royal.
I've seen a lot. Yeah, she's a lot. She wrestles a lot in the Indies here in the Northeast, so I've seen her in Beyond Wrestling and some other of the Northeast Indies as well.
Ah, very cool. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's one of the biggest problems in the company right now is they just, badly need more women. As good as, say, Allie is in her roles at time, I'm just so tired of seeing her because they've had to rely so heavily on her for the past year or so. So, yes, the more women that can join the company, the better. And from what I've seen of her, good stuff. So you've seen her live and were impressed?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's... the only term I can really think of is she's a kick-ass women's wrestler. Like she's physical, she's tough. Her matches are physical and tough, and I think it's a really good signing. I think her and Tessa are gonna have some really, really good matches.
Oh, so, awesome.
I'm excited for that.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Another thing that, I saw this news on Monday, and it just made me go, oh, what if? Because this would have been a really cool moment, I think, at Bound for Glory. PW Insider, I think it was Mike Johnson, had the news that James Ellsworth was not supposed to be the guy who answered Eli Drake's open challenge, which makes sense. Because I think when it happened, Andrew, you and I were both kind of in agreement with like, huh? James, really? That's what you built this up thing for? According to Mike Johnson of PW Insider, the original person that was going to have answered that open challenge was Joey Janela, who's another big name.
Wow.
And that would have been great. Apparently Joey Janela was going to have answered the open challenge, and that would have kicked off a run for him in Impact. He would have been a regular. But, of course, he hurt his knee about a month ago, I think it was, and is on the shelf now. So that moment wasn't able to happen, and James Ellsworth was a backup plan and a one-night-only thing. He's not going to be a regular. But, yeah, according to PW Insider, Joey Janela was going to have debuted at Bound for Glory answering Eli Drake's open challenge. I also assume that means he probably would have beaten Eli Drake because I think part of the report said that he would have been a regular. So I don't think you bring Joey Janela in to be a regular and have him lose on his first night to Eli Drake. So I think that would have been a cool moment. I mean, I kind of feel like, fans are probably robbed of something here because Joey Janela showing up in New York to answer that open challenge and beating Eli Drake, I think would have had gotten a huge reaction, and it would have definitely been something that you and I were talking about Sunday night when that show was over.
That would have been great. And having him, Ethan Page and Willie Mack basically join the company at around the same time.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. Nice infusion of new talent, got people, got a little buzz going, but man, yeah, no, I feel bad for Janela because he's going to be out for a long time. But that would have been great. Now I had not heard that, so now I'm kind of bummed out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he is back and healthy. If Impact is able to work something out with him again, because that's a guy. It's not really a needle mover for them. They're not going to go to 600,000 viewers because of Joey Janela. But I think that's something that people would have gotten excited about for sure. Yeah. I mean. The type of wrestling fan that I think, is a little more serious and hardcore is what people always use. But, the type of wrestling fan that I think follows shows like ours closely, I mean, those types of fans, you and I, older generations of fans, males 18 to 49, would have been really excited for Joey Janela to show up in Impact.
Yeah, it would have just been like a feel-good story, too. You know, after all these years on this indie scene, and he's been picking up some buzz the past couple of years. And yeah, that would have been a fantastic moment. You know, I don't know if this is a good time to switch, but I was, you know, talking about the other new guys. Wasn't it really impressed with what they did with Willie Mack tonight? I felt that was about as bland as they could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what? Yeah, he was featured in that backstage interview, and that was it, right?
Yeah, just cut a 30-second promo.
Yeah,
and walked away. That just another seemed like a little bit of a missed opportunity.
No question. I would agree there too, because that was, I thought he looked great on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you know, his strength is just being in the ring and in front of a crowd, and he just, I don't know, even he didn't even seem interested in what he was talking about. So that was so for people who that was their first time seeing him, that was probably a pretty big letdown.
All right, let's get to some other bits of news. What about this? How about, I know you pointed this out to me earlier today, but if people missed this, there was Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net was on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast today, and they were talking about Impact and Bound for Glory. And one of the things that Jason said that I thought was fascinating, because you and I have never talked about this. I have not heard many people talk about this at all. So when Jason announced this bit of news, it was news to me. But according to Jason Powell of ProWrestling.net, the Impact deal with Pop TV is not a barter deal. Jason Powell reported today on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast that Pop TV pays Impact Wrestling about $1 million a year for Impact Wrestling, which is just below $20,000 an episode. And it doesn't sound like a lot. I don't think it covers all of their cost for production. It probably covers some of it, but I don't think it covers all of their production costs. But it's still, I mean, that's not a small amount of money. It is, I think, in terms of television rights. I mean, look at what Vince McMahon and WWE are getting for their shows, and $1 million for Impact is a literal fraction of what WWE is getting. But still, that's news. And I think it's especially newsworthy when you see Pop TV move them to 10 p.m. And we talked last week how it kind of almost feels like they're being we didn't talk about this in the show because I don't think we learned about this until Friday. But it almost kind of feels like we talked about this in an email exchange. It almost kind of feels like they're being given up on a little bit with this move to 10 p.m. And here we are, you know, a week later, and according to Jason Powell, we find out that, Pop TV is paying Impact Wrestling $1 million for this show. I know you and I talked about it, I think it was on Sunday, and we said, hey, you know what, it's one of those things where they're moving them to 10 p.m., and my original guess was, hey, if it's a barter deal, they're trying to determine, are they better off making 100% of the ad sales on something they own, or 50% of the ad sales on Impact? Now it seems like they're looking at this going, well, what, are we better off getting whatever we get on ad sales for a rerun of some, you know, soap opera, or are we better off getting whatever percentage of ad sales on the $1 million we spend on Impact Wrestling? That, to me, honestly, knowing that information that they are paying them something for the show and they're moving them to 10 p.m., I don't think this bodes well. I really don't. I mean, this now really feels to me like it's Pop TV putting something else into prime time because they're easing Impact out of their schedule. That's what this feels like to me now. And I wouldn't have said that a week ago, but learning that information today really changed my mindset on it.
Yeah, it really does. And it is the Gilmore Girls that are booting them.
Going there?
That's what's going there. A show that,
all right,
you know, take away the Netflix revival ended 10 years ago? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
About that. Yeah, so that was news to me as well, and I just can't imagine at the end of the year they would be able to go to Pop TV, Ed Ornum and Scott D'Amore and Don Callis, and just say, hey, give us another $1 million.
Yeah,
because
not at 10 p.m.
No, I mean, to me, it seems like that should still be a steal in the TV industry. But
well, that's the thing, like, maybe, it's not a lot of money.
Yeah. No. And I, you know, mentally, I was watching the show tonight and mentally going, God, $20,000, like, you can't even fly in everyone on 20 grand.
Yeah,
I would imagine, and book out the arena. And Jason also did say something interesting. He said they are not hemorrhaging money at the moment. So, but there's no way they're making much.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah,
so I don't think they might not be hemorrhaging money. They might just be losing money at a lesser clip.
That's my guess. And if that 20 grand goes away, is $1 million the death of them? I don't know. Or will they just hobble along and try to do land somewhere else? Or and again, we don't know how much these how much their foreign TV deals pay them. But it was very interesting to hear what the number was that Pop is paying them right now.
Yeah, and I think if Pop was happy with the performance of the show, they're not moving them to 10 p.m. on a Thursday night. You know, it's exactly. One of those things to get them away from the NFL. I think we talked about this on Sunday a little bit, but to get them away from the NFL, you move them to Wednesday. Like that yeah, gets exactly. them completely away from the NFL. Move them to Wednesday. Moving them to 10 p.m. still puts them up against the NFL. All it does is instead of putting them up against the first half of the NFL game, it puts them up against the second half of the NFL game. And doing that, let's say you're watching the NFL game if you're an NFL fan and it's a good game. Now, are you going to turn away from that game at 10 p.m. to go watch Impact? I don't think so. So you're not pulling them away from the NFL at all. I mean, if anything, I think you're going to make it harder for people that are going to watch those football games. I mean, if you're Impact now, you just got to hope that by the time you come on the air at 10, the NFL games will blow out and it's over and maybe people will flip over and watch you. But I just don't think it helps all that much.
No, not at all. I mean, they tried to say Impact after dark. Oh, what's going
to
happen?
They tried to spin it as a positive, which, I mean, I understand, but it's not a positive.
Of course, yeah. No, it's not a positive at all. It's like, maybe I said this last week, but it's like when in 2010, when they lost the Monday Night War round two in like 5 weeks and they got booted back to Thursday nights, Taz and Mike Tanay were talking about how it was the greatest thing and that's how people wanted them there and people got used to it. So they tried to spin it just like they're doing now. And it's not working. I'm surprised that they didn't just move it to Wednesday night. And I think that's the thing that makes it scary for them, unless they have a show on Wednesday night. That's another hit, but I don't know what that would be. It does seem like Pop is either is thinking of life post Impact at this point.
I mean, in reality, Impact's their only original programming or one of like a handful of original programming. Everything on that network is reruns. Schitt's Creek, which is one of their better shows in terms of performance, is not something they produce. That's a Canadian show that they just pull down from Canada. So, I mean, it's not like they have a ton of original programming. They're like one of these networks that's just getting by with syndicated TV shows and old movies. And I mean, how many ads did we see tonight for the fact that they're going to air Titanic, you know, all day?
Oh my
Sunday.
God.
They mentioned it every break. Times. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like there's a ton of original programming on this network. So if you're Pop TV, you could be looking at it going, yeah, I mean, we're spending $1 million on this original programming that's bringing now in 190,000 viewers and not 400,000 viewers. So what are we doing? Like, what's the purpose? We can spend less money on, broadcast rights to some movie from 1993 and play that on Thursday nights and, get not the same audience, but it's not a big enough you might make less in advertising because it's less of an audience on Thursdays, but if it costs less to air that program, it could still be a net positive. That's what they could be looking at right now. And yeah, I think it's scary for them. I also think too, if this was Impact, I think Wade and Jason talked about this today too, but if this was Pop reacting to news that Impact has another deal coming, then this is something Impact would have talked about. They could have made this. Let's say Impact already has a deal in place or have agreed, verbally in principle to move to another network at the beginning of the year. Pop gets wind of it and goes, well, we're not going to keep airing you in prime time. Like, have fun airing at 10 o'clock. That could conceivably be a situation that happens. But if you're Impact Wrestling and you get moved to 10 o'clock and that's the case, it's not something that catches you off guard and then you have it's because of good news for your company that's leaking out somewhere. Even if Impact can't say anything because they're still under contract with Pop, that's something that gets into the media, into you and I, or into anybody that mm-hmm. will listen. That hey, yeah, we're getting moved to 10 p.m., but starting January 1st, we're on Fox Sports 1, or starting on January 1st, we're back with Spike on the Paramount Network. I mean, it's that would have leaked. by now. I mean, because this news is now a week old. So if there was good news to come on the back of this, I feel like they would have found a way to leak it out. That's just PR 101, and that hasn't happened, which tells me that, yep, they were blindsided by this move. They didn't expect it, and it's not good.
No, it's not good at all, I don't think. I mean, maybe it's possible they'll give them $600,000 or something just to continue on, and maybe they'll find some other revenue stream somewhere or cut costs some more, and they'll keep on surviving. They're certainly planning on it. I mean, they have the January show booked, so they're planning on being around. But man, yeah, when they announced it at the beginning of the show, it didn't seem like they were hiding something. In the sense that it seemed like they were faking, that this was an exciting move and not, hey, we know this is crappy at the moment, but stay tuned. We're gonna be bigger than we've been in a while. It just felt like they knew that this was trouble. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that's what I got from Callis and Matthews.
No, I agree. It sounded that way.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
I also wonder, too, how much did this affect TV? What were there things that were changed because of this move? I mean, they're main eventing the show next week with Phoenix against Johnny Impact for the world title. That's going to be a really good match. You know, I think whether or not you like Johnny Impact as a babyface, you put him in the ring with Phoenix, and that's going to be a really good wrestling match. So was that always the plan, that week two after Bound for Glory, it was going to be Johnny Impact against Phoenix? Or was this we got to get people to watch at 10, so we've got to give them a world title match, and Phoenix versus Johnny Impact would be a good one, and people haven't seen it before, so let's do that. I don't know, but it definitely feels like there may have been some changes to the booking to make sure they load up that show a little bit next week, because it's what else? They advertised something else, too. It was Johnny Impact versus Phoenix for the world title. What else was it?
Gama Singh?
Gama Singh coming back. Yeah, he's gonna fight Rohit Raju.
That should be the main event,
of course. Wasn't there? Was there something else too?
There was something else. I know there was at least one more thing that they talked about, because I was picking up on that too.
It definitely seemed like they were trying to pump up next week's show.
Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on whatever it is.
Yeah. I can't
must
think
not have been, it. Must not have been that memorable.
Couldn't have been that exciting then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to phone calls in just a minute. Again, the number 515-605-9345. One more thing I wanted to talk about on this episode. Are you any more intrigued with the whole Allie thing after tonight, or do you think, like me, that it just continues to get dumber?
Oh,
hey, at least they didn't go into any undead realms tonight.
Yeah,
Allie might be going psychotic, and her hair color changed to show that she's darker hair, because she's going to the dark side, of course. I mean, duh. It still is like, ugh.
I don't mind if I keep going back to this, and we both go back to this, but if the announcers didn't know about the undead realm, that would make it so much better, because they're saying, what's wrong with Allie? Well, you freaking idiot. She just killed three women. That's going to have an effect on her psyche. Of course, she's going to be a different person now. But they just, like, question. It hurts my head to just think of this, like, because they're talking about an undead realm. Like, it's serious. I don't mind Allie's character changing, I guess. But I just want them to drop the over-the-top supernatural stuff. Because, as we've said, it doesn't work. It's goofy. It doesn't fit on this show. It's just, you can't really do supernatural like that to that extent. I mean, somehow WWE has gotten away with it now and then with The Undertaker. But, man, this is, it's just too much, and it's bringing down too many characters right now. And it's just it's not a lot of fun to watch. I'm guessing you're feeling about the same way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's like they're desperately trying to recreate the broken universe buzz in any way that they can. The problem is that's not going to happen. You know, it's like they're just beating a dead horse into the ground where it's like, well, this worked. That's what, 3 years ago now? Was that 2015 or 2016?
I think it was 16, and like we said, it only worked for a couple months.
Yeah, okay, so even it was 2 years ago, and it's like they're still trying to do stuff like this because 2 years ago it worked for a little while.
Exactly.
Because by December, I mean, they had the final delete. Oh, what was the December? What was the December? The final deletion
was that ultimate deletion,
the one that had to happen at the Hardy compound.
Yeah, and the volcano, and
it got to the point where I remember we started doing the show like the following January, and by like March they were out of the company because they had gone back to WrestleMania, and I remember like right around that time, like in February and March, when they were on their quest for gold and they were teleporting to Mexico and all this other stuff, you and I were just like, all right, this is I'm done with this, like it's ridiculous. So yeah, I mean, it's not even like people remember it fondly. I think for like the summer of 2016, that stuff was new and cool and good. But by the time we got to the fall and the winter, like it was played out. And here we are 2 years later, and it's like they're still trying to just do the same thing, just with different characters. Because what, they think it's going to pop a rating? Like, I know some people are into it. I heard Brian Cage, not to continually plug Busted Open on Sirius, but he was a guest of theirs on Monday, and he said that he loved it. But, I mean, what's he going to say? Is he going to say he thought it was terrible?
Right. Exactly.
But, yeah, I just – it doesn't work. Like, I don't enjoy this type of stuff at all. I think it's – you have to simulate real life, and they're not obviously simulating real life. So that's where it loses its touch for me.
Yeah, it's just something that maybe it's just me and you, but this isn't something that's ever going to make me want to pay money to watch.
Yeah.
You know, because what are the payoffs to these things? They're just dumb little videos. Yeah, literally murder.
Like stabbing people in the neck with axes.
Yeah, and it's just too much of a tonal difference. And like we said before on Sunday, once you introduce murder, well, then who cares about Johnny Impact versus Phoenix, because there's no axes involved.
Exactly. So. It's like, all right, well, Allie just, chopped Sue Young's head off with an axe. Now let's go to the ring where we're going to have an athletic wrestling match with holds.
Yeah. it just kills it.
Yeah, you can't mix the universes together. Like, you either need to do what Lucha Underground does, or you need to do simulated sport. You can't be both.
Yeah, and like, personally, like I've said before, Lucha Underground is probably the show I find the most entertaining, even though I like their approach about the least. I would rather have realistic wrestling, but they're just so good at keeping their storylines consistent and doing a good job of shooting those vignettes that it just like wins me over despite the concept of it. And I have friends who I've been like, you should watch this show, and they're just like, I can't get into it. There's dragons, there's zombies, like that's just not my kind of wrestling. And I'm like, yeah, I completely get it. And Impact is just doing a pale imitation of what Lucha Underground is, which is bizarre because more people watch Impact Wrestling. Probably maybe not for long, though, at this pace.
It's like this company has been in a constant state of trying to do something else or trying to do something that other people have already done. A while they were just trying to be like WWE, but 4 years – previous to it. Like, like they were always at a point where it's like, oh, well, Mr. Kennedy is one of our top stars, like he was 4 years ago in WWF. I mean, they were always like WWF, but like 2 or 3 years behind. And yes. now it's like they're trying to be Lucha Underground. I mean, they're never just – it's like they can't come up with their own identity. They're always just trying to be someone else. And look, I'm not going to sit here and profess to be an expert and know what their identity should be, because the style of wrestling that I like would make them look like a New Japan knockoff, and that's not going to work either. So I don't know what the answer is, but I don't think the answer is continually trying to be someone else, because that hasn't worked for this company for 10 years, and yet that seems to be what they always go back to, is trying to be someone else.
Exactly. And every show has some good stuff on it. Take the main event tonight. And then every show just has a lot of bad stuff on it. And they, like you said, they're doing things they're just copying other people, and they're not doing it as well. They will never, ever. I mean, like, watch a Lucha Underground video and then watch one of Impact's videos. Like, Lucha Underground blows them away.
Yep.
They're not even close. And Lucha Underground, I mean, it's just the people directing and producing and writing those videos in Lucha Underground are just, they're far more talented. So they can't win that way. They can't compete with WWE in terms of the production or these gigantic main event stars. So, yeah, I mean, I would say, like you said, I would probably do more of a New Japan approach. Take it seriously, cut the comedy crap, and I don't know. I mean, just wrestle. Wrestle and have it mean something.
Yeah, I mean, what I like about the New Japan approach is I like how it's basically – the formula that UFC uses for building their fights, only it's with pro wrestling, which is what pro wrestling really used to be. I find that to be the most compelling television, where it's like, hey, you know what? We'll do some angles, but we don't need to do a bunch of silly, crazy angles all the time. Nobody needs to stab anybody in the neck with a knife. You know, sometimes it's just two guys in front of a camera explaining about why they want to kill the other guy, and then you put them in a ring. You have the announcers explain what the consequences are, and they fight, and you see what happens, and then watch those consequences pay out. You know, I've advocated for some type of ranking system in the past, and I realize it's difficult to do in wrestling, but it's pretty easy to understand. Even if you know nothing about MMA, if you turn on a UFC show this weekend and you see that the number 10 heavyweight is fighting the number 3 heavyweight, and the number 10 heavyweight wins, you know, wow, that's a good win for him. He's going to move up. Or if the number 3 heavyweight wins, you may say to yourself, huh, I wonder what happens now. Does he get a number 1 contenders fight in his next fight, or a title eliminator fight in his next fight? What's going to happen to this guy? He just got a win over another top 10 heavyweight. All while just building up the fights with – and there's angles that happen. I mean, Conor McGregor throwing a chair or whatever the hell it was at Khabib's bus was kind of like a wrestling angle. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But how was it built up? I mean, after that, did they cut promos across from each other in a ring, or did they do any other type of silly stuff or any type of backstage angles where someone attacks somebody in a locker room? Like, no, they put them on stage every once in a while and had them do press conferences and had them cut promos across from each other. They had a weigh-in where they almost came to blows. Each guy did interviews where they talked about how they hated the other guy. I mean, that's all that was. And then you get to fight night, and it was, I think, from a buy rate standpoint, one of the biggest fights in UFC history. It may have been the biggest fight, the biggest money-making fight in UFC history. So it's not it's not hard, and I like that type of approach. Now, if Impact did that, it's kind of just ripping off New Japan, because New Japan does things a very similar way. But – you know what? At least from that standpoint, I know that New Japan's getting more television clearance now in the United States than they have in the past. They're on Access. There's New Japan World. People have access to their product more than they ever have in the past. But there's no product really that does the New Japan style on national television every week. I mean, I think you could argue that Ring of Honor definitely comes closest. But even Ring of Honor, I don't think, mimics New Japan exactly. So if you're going to mimic someone, at least mimic someone that isn't on TV in the United States, right? I mean, that to me is what – at least mimic something that maybe not everyone has seen or has the opportunity to see.
Yeah, and I'm not like – and I don't think either of us are advocating for, like, get rid of promos and anything. You know, still have these larger than life characters cutting promos backstage, setting up their fights, saying why they're better than their opponent. They do their catchphrases. But when you introduce Axes and an Underworld and a guy training another guy to open up his third eye.
Yeah.
There's just
or two gangs that are rival gangs, and now apparently even after they fought, one of them gets to keep, you know, a small piece of New York, as we found out tonight.
Yeah, man, that was a confusing one. Like, it's just stuff that there's no relatability to any of that. And, you know, I'm all over the place right now. But
yeah, well, wrestling is often described as a male soap opera. But recently it feels like Impact is going way too far in the soap opera direction.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, you know, I was thinking of just like over the past few years, the only person in wrestling that has really kind of felt special at times has been Brock Lesnar. And he doesn't do goofy skits. He doesn't do wacky promos.
He barely speaks.
He doesn't go into the underworld and wrestle unmade brides.
Stabbed anybody in the neck with an axe.
He just like beats the crap out of people.
He's never run over a child.
Never ran over a child. And yeah, I mean, he just destroys people. And I guess they kind of try to do that with Cage, but there's so much goofiness surrounding it, and wackiness and kidnapping in that angle. You don't get into it. And teleporting. So they need to cut back on that stuff by like 80-90%. I mean, a little of that stuff goes a long way, and they have a lot of it.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Okay, phone calls. We're going to get to them right now. 515-605-9345. Like I said, remember, next week we are going to continue to take calls on our post-Impact livecast. We're also going to be after dark, just like Impact is going to be after dark. But the phone calls will have to be a little more rapid fire because we're going to try to get out of here quicker than we do after the 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern impacts, which now are no longer going to exist, at least for the time being. All right.
And people shouldn't blame us. Blame Don Callis and Scott DeMore.
100%. And Pop TV.
For their booking.
Yeah.
Pop TV.
Yeah. Blame all that. Okay. Up first, Ryan and Marilyn. You're up first in the live cast this week. Ryan, hello.
Good. Hello. First question I have for you is on the Smoke Show contest. I entered the contest tonight and already heard back from Don Callis and said he looks forward to seeing my video. You know anyone else that's entered this contest? Do you think I'll be disqualified since I used WWE talent in my video?
You might be. I don't know. Andrew, we should enter the contest.
Sure. I didn't know. I didn't know it was a legit thing. So, I mean, wow. I'm looking it up right now.
Let me ask Ryan, what WWE talent did you use in your video?
Luke Gallows from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, he's under contract, so that may disqualify your video from being shown on TV, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that could, yeah. Did you do this on Twitter? Where can people watch this?
You have to send an email to Miss Bordeaux, I believe.
Yeah, they aired a promo about it on the show tonight. I forget exactly what the email address was, but
oh, okay. Somehow I spaced that out.
Yeah, no, they did air like a little vignette on it at some point.
Huh? Cool. Interesting.
So I guess maybe they'll have to edit out the part that Luke appears in the video since he disappears briefly in the video.
Well, yeah, maybe they can edit it out.
Yeah. Sure.
And my second question is, I'm getting to the Monsters Ball tomorrow featuring Abyss against Tommy Dreamer. Do you think they're going to pull out all the stops and have a classic Monsters Ball match? Do you think they're going to take it pretty easy?
No, you know what? I don't think those guys take it easy. I don't know about you, Andrew. Neither of them strike me as the take-it-easy type, especially the Monsters Ball match. I mean, it's going to be easy for them to maybe not take a ton of bumps. There's going to, I'm guessing, going to be a lot of weapons involved. So there's going to be ways for them, I think, to make it a good match without having to fly around the ring and take bumps and do things that might be limiting to guys at their age. So I think you're going to see a pretty good hardcore match. I mean, you got two pretty good hardcore wrestlers going up against each other in a match that is obviously pretty hardcore. So, Andrew, what do you think there? I mean, I don't think either of those guys, even at their age, strike me as the type that would be taking a night off.
I apologize. I was looking at Scarlett Bordeaux's Twitter right there.
Ryan then said he's going to a show tomorrow night where there's going to be a Monsters Ball match between Abyss and Tommy Dreamer.
I think they always seem to give it them all. I was actually just watching some Tommy Dreamer footage tonight. He was at a Sioux Falls show, and I used to live there last year. So he looked to be giving it his all, and I've seen him at an indie show in Minneapolis, and he seemed to go all out as well. I think, even though I think Dreamer's like 48 and Abyss is like 45.
Dreamer 48? Wow.
I think he's 48. I could be off.
He'll be 48 in February.
Oh, yeah. But no, I think they'll give it their all for as much as they can for their age. It should be a lot of fun. I mean, just seeing them in person and their star power and seeing them at an indie show, I think you'll have a good time.
Okay, another question I have for you is on this Bounty Hunter movie. John Morrison claimed he can get it for $1 at Dollar General. Is this true? Because I can't find anything at Dollar General for $1. Like, I paid about $3 for Weird Science, and that's about the cheapest movie I've gotten there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that could have just been a line he used in the promo to kind of make his point. I would assume it's not going to be overly expensive. I mean, no offense to John Morrison, but it feels like the type of movie you would probably see, like, in the Walmart, like, under $5 bin. no offense to John or John Hennigan. I want to call him John Morrison. But yeah, I mean, I don't know for sure. My guess is that it's, I don't know if it's actually $1. Like you said, you can't find many things that are $1 these days. So maybe it was more than that, but it was probably in some of the discount bins. I don't think there's any question there, but hey, you know what? Like you said, we give him a hard time, I think, for some of the corny promos and stuff like that, but he wanted to make a movie, so he went out and made a movie. I mean, there's plenty of people, myself included, who say they want to do things all the time and never go out and do them. So for him to want to make a movie and to go out and do it, good for him.
Yeah, I respect him for that as well. I mean, he put a lot of money, of his own money, on the line, and he wasn't in WWE at the time, so he probably wasn't crazy rich. And I think I don't know how he did something with his house to help fund that movie. I can't remember what you call it. I'm bad at
probably
adult
like
things.
Refinance his house or something. Like that.
Yeah, probably that. But yeah, I mean, maybe like a friend of a friend saw, or just a friend of his saw a bunch of his movies at Dollar General for $1 and then sent him a picture. He seemed very like self-aware and self-deprecating about it, which is good. But I mean, yeah, I mean, hats off to him for doing that. And he knows what he made, and know that, you know, hey, it got on Netflix. It's a B movie, but he set out to do it, and he did it. So maybe somewhere you can find that movie for $1 at a Dollar General.
My question for you is on this Jericho Cruise. You think if they film it, they're to have good film quality, or is it just sort of like watching the old ECW fan cam that Daniel Bryan used to get for Christmas when he was a little kid?
No, I think the video quality would be pretty good. Fight TV is going to be airing, and I think it's November 3rd. But yeah, I think the video quality is fine, especially if Fight's producing it. They may be sending along, I don't know this for sure, my guess is that they may be sending along the equipment to do so. I mean, nowadays with technology the way it is, even though they're not obviously going to be able to stream it live, they could probably still record it in HD. I don't know what the lighting's going to look like. I mean, that might be the only thing that stands out a little bit, because they're going to be on a cruise ship. So what's the lighting look like? I mean, the room is probably not regularly lit for television, so are they bringing in TV lights in order to make the filming look better? I mean, that might be, I think, it's not a concern, but that might be one thing that's noticeable when you watch it. But I would imagine, Andrew, that nowadays Fight TV could send them some HD quality broadcast cameras and they could get a pretty good video quality. The lighting, I think, is going to be the biggest factor, whether or not the room is just lit enough for for the cameras to pick up everything going on.
Like in my head this entire time, they were like fighting on top of the deck. And I just, as you're saying that, I realized, oh yeah, that's probably not what they're doing. So now I'm a lot less interested in this show.
You know what? Maybe they are actually. I don't know.
I have no idea. Like I always just pictured it as like those old WCW Spring Break episodes where it's just outside and sunny. And
yeah, you know, that's a good point. Maybe they are, because there's the Sammy Callahan Marty Scurll match is advertised as like a deck, you know, on the deck street fight or something like that. So I mean, that one would at least be on the deck, I would assume. So, yeah, but maybe they're setting the ring up outside. That could certainly be.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. I have no idea how you shoot on a boat though, like if it's I have no idea. I guess I've never been on a cruise, so I don't know what it's like even walking around on those. Maybe it's pretty easy to
neither have I. I'm imagining the boat's gotta be big enough that you're not moving around all that much.
Yeah, maybe it's easy to power bomb somebody on a boat, I guess. I guess it all depends on the weather then, or the lighting. But either way, it'll be unique no matter what. It may not look great, but it should be fun.
Yeah, but I think it's going to look better than, like Ryan, like you were saying, I think it's going to look better than camcorder type footage, just because the technology is so much better now.
Yeah.
And my final question for you is, do you know if Ethan Page or Evan Bourne are in a secret society of any type, like the Masons or the Strongliners? Because I know it's pretty big in terms of people belong to that group. I know Ethan even had like an Illuminati type t-shirt even years ago before he joined TNA and did this gimmick. So I'm just wondering if they live those characters like outside of wrestling and all.
I don't know. You know, like you said though, it wouldn't be, it's not totally rare for people to join organizations like that. So it could very well be that they do belong to a group like that, but I don't know off the top of my head if either one of them do. Andrew, do you?
God, I don't even know really what the Freemasons.
Yeah, that would be like a group like that.
Okay, yeah, I don't even really. I mean, really know what they are.
Neither
so
do
maybe?
I. I don't know much about them other than they're obviously a group that people join. I mean, I know there's a my town has a what do they call them? I think the Freemasons call is it a temple? The Freemasons?
Yeah. Okay. I've seen.
There's
around,
one. There's one in my town. I know that, but I mean, I don't know much about the organizations.
Right. You know, for the Illuminati, it's probably just a, like he thought it was cool type thing. Like a, you know, like the NWO, there's, you know, the New World Order wrestling one. And then the NWO, there's these, you know, conspiracy theorists think there's people taking over the world. So maybe he's just into that kind of stuff. I doubt he's actually in the Illuminati, because if he was, he probably wouldn't actually advertise that. My guess is he just finds it kind of cool and interesting. But maybe he's in the Freemasons. I'll have to read up on that, because I've never known what they are.
Okay, thanks for taking my call tonight.
Anytime, Ryan. Thanks for the call. You know, you spoke of the NWO. This is a weird thing that's happening in my neighborhood anyway, or my town, which I don't know if this is happening everywhere. But there's this thing now where, like, apparently, this is going to sound really weird, but I go to, like, my kid's soccer game on the weekend, and, like, there's a bunch of like middle-aged soccer moms that are legit like wearing NWO hats. It's like, it's become like a fat, like, I'm not even joking. Like there's like a half dozen of like women in their like late 30s, early 40s wearing NWO hats, which it's mind boggling to me. I'm like, what? My wife asked one of them, oh, where did you get that? Like, cause I wanted her to ask. I go, look, I can't ask this. It sounds weird if I ask it, but ask her where she got the hat from. They got it at like, I don't know if it was Macy's or like a department store. And they had no idea what it was, but they're like, yeah, it just all look cool. It's the weirdest thing. Apparently, it's like a fashion trend. Like, I don't know if WWE is licensing it out or what, but it was legit the NWO logo. Like, same NWO logo. It was like a black and white NWO logo on like a army fatigue green, like, hat. It was weird.
That is the weirdest thing. No, I've never, like, I have an NWO sweatshirt, and I have never seen anybody else really wear that apparel, or at least not 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
On hats. So, man, maybe you should join the group.
I know. I'm trying to see if I can find it anywhere. Anywhere. I just Googled NWO hat. see if I'll take it. You know, it pops up on I don't know, Sears or something. All Sears is going out of business. Probably not anymore.
I should have sold more NWO hats. Still be in business.
That's the problem, clearly. I can't find anything. But, yeah, I just thought that was weird, especially where, I don't know, Ryan was talking about the NWO and the Illuminati, and it made me think, like, hey, there's something going on here in my town with people wearing NWO hats.
Yeah, this random story, but I wore an NWO sweatshirt downtown once in Sioux Falls, and a guy yelled at me because he thought I was in, like, the Illuminati group. And I'm like, dude, it's wrestling. He didn't get it.
You should have been like, yep, I am in the Illuminati.
Yep, I control the world. You got me.
And you're in deep, deep trouble now because you figured it out.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Okay, who's up next? Let's go to Kylan. Kylan is in New Jersey. Kylan, hello.
Hey, Mike, how are you and Andrew doing this week?
Pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good night.
I think I can answer your question about the NWO hats and logo and the riff.
All right.
I can check into this for you in case I am wrong on, because I have the ability to find this piece of information out. But I believe, since WWE is kind of, well, not secretly, but what word am I looking for here? Quietly assisting the NWO in promoting their reunion events that will start happening on next Saturday. They have started relicensing the NWO trademark for hats and different products. And I'm not sure if you realize this, but believe it or not, there are people that still wear NWO t-shirts and merchandise to shows sometimes.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. I've seen that before. You know, a lot of people still wear NWO t-shirts. In fact, I was at a show about a year ago where WWE at the booth actually were selling them. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me. It's just, it was weird. It was a fashion choice apparently among a bunch of women in my town. You know, you don't think to see like soccer moms wearing NWO hats.
No, I've yet to see that, unfortunately.
I've never heard anything like that myself. So, my first question for this week is in regards to Killer Cross. What did you think of Killer Cross incapacitating Tommy Dreamer with the Mr. Saito suplex?
I actually thought that was well done. Andrew, I don't know what you thought about that. Just the whole idea of he hits him with a bunch of Saito suplexes, or I think two of them, and then the referee stops the match over concerns for Tommy Dreamer's neck. I thought that was a nice, or not, it wasn't nice for Tommy Dreamer, but it was a different way. It was an intriguing way for them to end that match, and not something that we see, you know, very often.
Yeah, I've always thought that would be a cool gimmick for somebody. I think when Brock Lesnar first came in like 2002, 2002-ish, during that time, his first couple matches, he would just like powerbomb guys, and they couldn't get back up. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. Like, it's so brutal that the ref just has to call off the fight. I thought it was good. I complained about the match earlier. I think it went on way too long. If you want to get Killer Cross over as a killer, I mean, he should be able to put down Tommy Dreamer easier than he did, because he also basically needed a distraction to really gain control. But it was good, and it was good of Dreamer to just, you know, he always puts people over relatively clean, I guess. So I like that finish, and I think it would be something that he should continue with. It's unique and would make him stand out.
I have another move that was similar to that. See if you guys remember this. In the summer of 2004, if you guys remember, during Evolution, when Batista was first breaking out as a single star, he would knock people out with straight traditional clotheslines.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I do remember that, actually. And yeah, no, I like stuff like that. I think it's neat. I think it's different. You don't see a ton of it nowadays. So if that's a gimmick where he's just knocking people out, then it's cool with me.
Yeah. It's pretty badass, because if you pin somebody, you basically just have to keep them down for 3 seconds. But if you knock them out, I mean, they're out for an indeterminate amount of time. So somebody should do it if Killer Cross doesn't do it.
Yeah. My second question is in regards to the tag division. What do you think is next for LAX and the OGs as a result of their Bound for Glory match on Sunday?
That's a great question. I have absolutely no idea, because there's no other tag teams in the promotion, it feels like. You know, outside of the two of them, you've got OVE, you've got the OGs, and you got LAX. And outside of those guys, there's really nobody else. You know, the Desi Hit Squad broke up. I think we'll probably see them maybe piece a tag team together. But as for who they go after, I really don't know. Tonight almost made me think that they're not done feuding with each other. You know, maybe the thing with Eddie Kingston was just their way of putting the OG's LAX storyline to rest. At the same time, though, you know, you would have figured, hey, that could have been just done with the finish of the match on Sunday at Bound for Glory. So do they really need to do this announcement where they're going to keep part of New York and LAX is going to have most of New York, or whatever that segment was? So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I guess if I had to guess right now, my guess would be that they might still have them feud somehow, because I don't know why you have them interact tonight if they were just going to stop, you know, interacting with one another for a long time now. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of thought that too, that they might have another go around and do something really ridiculous with the stipulation wise. The unfortunate thing would be, though, is that LAX has won, you know, both of the big matches. So that it doesn't seem like there needs to be another one, but with the other, nobody else, I mean, either that, or you got to put like Pentagon and Phoenix, have them take up against them, but then you have two babyface teams going against each other. It'd be fun, but it seems like those guys could be better used elsewhere too. So maybe it's time to go back to OVE. Maybe enough time has passed. Otherwise, they could use another tag team in that company. So, but Yeah, I think we will get one more big LAX match. OG match. There we go.
And my final question is on the health of Impact. Will Impact Wrestling even make it to their January 6th Impact Homecoming pay-per-view, or will Impact suffer the same fate as Eric Bischoff's Fusion Media Ventures deal and the pay-per-view be scheduled to happen, but Leonard Asper, the chairman of Anthem, pulls funds for Impact in the same way that Jamie Keltner of TNT pulled funds and programming for WCW off the air after this 10 p.m. experiment seemingly does not go well.
I still think they'll be on the air, or they'll be alive. I don't know if they'll be on the air. But January 6th is early enough that they could probably continue to just go with their schedule. I mean, so January 6th is a Sunday, which means the 3rd is a Thursday. So it's possible, I guess, that they wouldn't have a go-home show if they're off the air. But, yeah, I think it'll be close enough that they'll run the pay-per-view. It'll be interesting, though, to see where their show is. You know, because if they're not on TV, if Pop doesn't pick them up and they don't go anywhere else, then what do? You know, do they air it on YouTube for a while? Like, what do they do? I don't know. So, yeah, I do think they will run the pay-per-view, though. I don't know. Hey, you know what? If they don't have a TV deal and they decide they can't go on, I mean, maybe the pay-per-view's it. I think even that's a reach. But, yeah, I my guess is that we will get to that pay-per-view. It's just a matter of what landscape does the company find itself in? Are they producing a television show for a television network? Are they producing a television show for some type of streaming company? I mean, there's options out there. It's just I don't know what their landscape is going to look like. But I do think that January 6th pay-per-view will happen. What will happen? What about you, Andrew? Do you think I am wrong on that?
No, I think it'll happen. I think the big thing at the moment is, you know, how much did their other contracts pay? Because if Pop is giving them $20,000 a week, maybe the India deal is paying them $40,000 a week. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
it could be.
Yes, I don't know if $1 million total would being taken away from them would just kill them instantly. I think they would probably try to make something work, whether it's just, yeah, going on the internet for a while.
Didn't they do that between Fox Sports and Spike? Wasn't there like a brief month or so where they had to – they were putting the show online and that was it until the new Spike deal picked up?
There was, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was a close call for them. It seemed like, you know, there's been many times it seems they were about to go under, but somehow they keep on surviving. So, yeah, I would say that show will probably happen.
They actually did that for about four and a half months before Spike picked them up.
Yeah, I know. I knew there was a period of time. I couldn't remember how long of a time it was, but yeah, that's a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, it was longer than I thought it was.
Go on, Zach. I think they went off Fox Sports at the end of May in 2005, and from June to October, they went dark on the internet for that whole time.
Yeah, no, that definitely definitely could be. Like I said, I don't remember exactly what the dates were, but yeah, that it makes sense. I mean, it lines up. I knew it was somewhere around there. That's long. That's I don't know if they could do that now. I mean, that's a long time to do that nowadays. Yeah. We'll see. Hmm.
Well, Mike and Andrew, I'm not sure if we'll talk again because of the time slot change, but if you don't hear my voice again, the past year and a half has been a pleasure for me, so I hope it's been just as much of a pleasure for you as it has been for me.
Absolutely, Kylan. We appreciate the call each and every week. You're one of our regulars, man. So, yeah, absolutely. We appreciate the call each and every week, and hopefully we hear from you again soon. Like I said, you know, with the time slot change, I get it. It's late. It's going to be a late night for me, too. But if anything ever Impact-related pops into your mind, don't be afraid to give us a call.
For sure, yeah. Thanks. So, yeah, thanks for all your calls. I mean, I think you've been here pretty much since day one.
Yeah, since day one.
And you know, with Impact, it could always move nights and yeah. Move time slots again. So I think somewhere a
couple of months
down the line, we will.
A couple of months down the road, Colin, we can be back at 10 o'clock again if they yeah. Land somewhere else.
There we go.
let's hope and pray. Well, I'll see you guys down the road.
Sounds good, Kylan. Thanks for the call. Again, 515-605-9345.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Let's go to Matt in Bakersfield. Hello, Matt.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good. So, you guys are making me a little nervous on this Impact's future. you know, I was getting excited. It kind of reminded me of, the WWF. Hello?
Yeah. No,
yes.
It kind of reminded me like of the WWF. Okay, sorry. It kind of reminded me of, like, the WWF, like, 95, 96 era, you know, where you could see business was going down, but you know, they're still putting out good matches, you know, Shawn and Razor. And I just feel like, you know, Impact's just in that mode right now, you know, like they're fighting for survival.
Yeah. No, it feels that way. I mean, and like you said, I mean, and we were talking about it earlier, they have the ability to put on a lot of really good matches. It's just that they've got to find a way. I think if they end up on a bigger network, Andrew, and I think you would agree with this, if they end up on a bigger network, they're going to get more viewers. I think part of the reason mm-hmm. they're in the position they're in is the fact that nobody watches Pop TV. Right. So if they can get on a bigger network that is maybe the audience is more conducive to a watching pro wrestling, it's going to help. I don't know how much it's going to help. I don't know. I don't think they'll be at a million viewers again, but I think it's going to help. But they got to get there. You know, they got to find that partner. And it's amazing to me, and Wade talked about this today, but it really is amazing, Andrew, that no other network has looked at Impact Wrestling and said, geez, you know what? If Vince McMahon and WWE is worth $2 billion and they're going to get whatever numbers they're going to get for their wrestling show, why couldn't we take this wrestling show and do, you know, a tenth of the viewership? And maybe get it though for a hundredth of the price. It's really, I mean, television, especially most industries, it's such a copycat world, and it's kind of weird that nobody's tried to copy it yet. No one's tried to say, okay, we can't take the $2 billion product, but let's take the $20 million product. I mean, no one's done that with impact yet. And it's just, it's weird because I feel like any other type of program that, that hits a network or hits a cable network and has success, you're going to have every other network trying to rip it off.
Yeah, I have found that strange for months, too. As soon as the that crazy WWE deal was announced, the $2 billion for Raw and SmackDown or whatever it ended up being, I assumed somebody would come looking for Impact. Like, 2 hours a week, first-run content. Wrestling is not
– Yep.
It shouldn't be that big of a stigma anymore. You know, there's a lot of big advertisers with WWE, so they're not afraid of them. And so I figured Impact would land something, or by now something we would have heard anything, but no. And that's why we're not trying to just like be dire, but it does seem kind of dire. It just seems, yeah, like a kind of a scary situation, but maybe they can just keep cutting money, or expenses, and, Pop will, you know, give them less money and they'll just survive on a smaller budget for who knows how long.
I hate to be a conspirator, right? Did I say that right? A conspirator? I hate to, you know, have a conspiracy. Excuse me.
Conspiracy theorist?
Yeah. Yes. I just have a theory. I just signed up for New Japan Pro Wrestling, the website, the New Japan Pro World.
Oh, yeah.
My first show was that Fighting Street Fight, or the one that just aired in Long Beach. And on commentary was JR and Kevin Kelly. And I was like, oh, I thought it would be Don Callis. So their next event, which was on the 8th of October, I flipped it on. And again, there's no Don Callis. It's Rocky Romero and some other gentleman. And I went, huh, okay, no big deal. I saw on the internet a day later that Lanny Poffo has a job interview with New Japan to do their English commentary. Because Don Callis is, I guess, going to do Impact full time. So my thought is, if Impact's going to go, you know, say under, would Don Callis really say goodbye to New Japan? Wouldn't he still hold on to that?
So this is the interesting thing, because I don't know that it's Don Callis' decision. And Andrew, I don't know if you have a thought on this, but like one of the things that I thought was weird about it was Chris Jericho tweeted, I think it was end of last week, that he wasn't real happy about Don Callis' involvement or role in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I am kind of reading this as it wasn't Don's choice, and Chris Jericho is voicing his displeasure about it, and that. You know, Don Callis was a guest on Sam Roberts' wrestling podcast this week as well, and I haven't listened to the whole interview yet, but I think he kind of alluded to it, I believe, and I was listening to it while doing other things. It was on in the background, but I got the impression listening to that interview that, yeah, it may not have been his choice. What do you think about that, Andrew? Because that seems to be a developing story here, because whether it's, hey, you know, maybe New Japan is saying, hey, you're running your own company now, you're running a different company. Who knows? Maybe Don Callis was trying to proposition New Japan talent to wrestle for Impact as well. I mean, who knows what the reasoning could be, but yeah, it does kind of seem like he's on the outs there for some reason.
I will admit, this is the first I've heard of this. I didn't know that was going on. I'd read articles saying wrestlers were not thrilled with how things are being handled in New Japan right now. I did not know that went all the way to Don Callis and that he was potentially on the out. So, I don't know. Maybe it's not. I would assume that it is not his choice, because I'm sure it's a good paying gig and he doesn't have to. I mean, he gets to go to Japan a lot. I would assume it's not his call. Could be wrong on that. Maybe he does just want to focus more on Impact. But the Jericho thing leads me to believe otherwise. But yeah, I guess that's all I'd heard at the moment.
I didn't know about the Jericho thing. I try not to read too much into stuff because it gets me all wound up and I'm just be like,
Yeah.
Like this Aries Impact thing, I'm trying not to get too excited about it, but I'm like, hey, imagine if they can really pull this off, you know, but I'm hoping and I'm shooting for it. So,
yeah, I mean, hey, I hope so too, and I hope they can figure out a way to include him in some way, shape, or form, because we've been fans of his work. Yeah, I just looked it up here. So, New Japan Global, that Twitter account, had sent out a tweet. This was from October 14th that said, "So Real Kevin Kelly and Mark Wars were busy providing English commentary over some classic New Japan matches." And then a link to subscribe to New Japan World. Chris Jericho retweeted that tweet with the comment, "Not using at Cyrus over Huge," Don Callis, "not using Cyrus over Huge for any and all commentary is a big mistake and just plain stupid." And then he tagged New Japan's Twitter handle in the tweet. So
wow.
Yeah, that's straight shooting right there.
Interesting.
Wow, interesting times we live in.
Yeah, no doubt.
One more thing about the LAX and OGs. I don't care what they do. I'm just glad that they're still around. The fact that we saw Eddie Kingston and he had black eyes and his hands were all taped up. I was like, yes, he's going to be around. I think that they're going to break off from LAX and like this is putting it on pause. You know, who could they go after? I don't know. You know, maybe a new team, introduce a new team. They can put them over, then boom, they can, challenge LAX.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I like the touch. I agree. I like the touch of having Kingston with the black eye and just selling the fact that they were in a big fight on Sunday. That's something that Andrew, WWE used to do that a lot. If you remember, like big man events, you guys would show up on Raw the next night with bruises on their face and bruises on their arm. I mean, obviously they were, it was makeup or whatever it was, but, they don't do that at all anymore, but they used to do it a lot. And I've always thought, okay, yeah, they were in a fight. They should have some type of marks on them. I thought that was good. I don't know, but legitimately, I mean, we talked about this earlier. I have no idea what they're going to do with these teams because there's no teams for them to go with right now unless they put singles guys together. I mean, they could put Phoenix and Pentagon together and do something there, I guess. Like Matt had said, maybe they introduce a new team, but there's really just nothing that kind of stands out. Like, yeah, they're definitely going to do this. You know, this is the direction they're going in, I can tell. I really have no clue what they're going to do with these guys.
60 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I was glad to see that segment, too, because they didn't write Eddie Kingston out of the show for sure. They didn't kill him
and he's been
or
good.
Anything. Oh, yeah, I think him and Conan, I think, have been the two best actors in wrestling in 2018, in my mind. He's just great. I mean, I was also briefly hoping they would all just join together and form one major heel stable or something, but you wouldn't need Conan and Kingston on the same side to do that. So, yeah, I do hope they stick around. Maybe they just need a little break. Maybe they need to disappear for a couple months. But I think Kingston would be a very valuable guy to have on the roster. And Homicide and Hernandez appear to still be able to go in the ring. So in some form, I hope they stick around. I don't know what the best route that would be at the moment.
10 seconds.
I hope they continue on with Impact.
Yeah, and one more thing about this show. What is going on with Eli Drake? Why is he suing Impact? Why? And none of this makes sense, and it makes me mad because it's just like he's a good talent. He should be in the main event scene. Hell, Johnny Impact needs a challenger for the homecoming. Eli Drake, just to have him start kicking ass. But
you know what's funny? We never even thought of that, Andrew. We were trying to debate who would they have set up for Johnny Impact as a heel. We never even considered Eli Drake, which I think is an indictment on how they've treated him over the last 6 to 8 months, because we never even considered him as being a title challenger, and he's a former world champion.
Yeah. Exactly.
It just makes me mad. Like, why did you even re-sign him? You know what I mean?
It really, I mean, Matt, Andrew and I, we've mentioned this before, but it almost feels like, Andrew, that they re-signed him without thinking they were going to be able to. Mm-hmm. it was almost like they were writing him off TV, and then it was like, he resigned? What now what are we going to do? Because it felt like they were writing him off television, and then he resigned, and it was like, well, now we have no idea what to do. We thought he wasn't going to be here.
Yeah, which is crazy because, I mean, if you look at, he main evented last year's Bound for Glory, and this one he was squashed by Abyss. Like, that is sad. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't, you know, I'd have to look at a list of everyone who's been in a Bound for Glory main event, but I don't know if anyone's fallen further than him in the history of the show.
James Ellsworth. So he went from main eventing the pay-per-view to wrestling James Ellsworth and then getting squashed through a table by Abyss.
Yeah, that, I mean,
what a year it's been.
Ugh. Yeah, terrible, terrible year for him.
And you know what, though? Like, part of it, too, I do think they needed to cool him down a little bit because a year ago, you and I were saying, like, hey, he's a future world champion, but they put the belt on him too soon. And it was just like a knee-jerk reaction to El Patron is gone. We need to do something. Let's put the belt on Eli Drake. People think he's a good promo. This is going to work. And it was too soon. And it wasn't even like this creative regime. I hate using that word. I feel like we all say regime too much, but whatever. This creative board? People. Scott, Don Callis and Scott D'Amore. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. They weren't there yet. So, it did kind of feel like it was too much of a rush. So I do think you've got to have to knock him down a little bit to build him back up again. But, like, geez, it seems like they knocked him down and they haven't been doing a whole lot of building back up.
Yeah, way too far. I mean, he was involved in that Grado storyline.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Man, like, I don't know. It is baffling. Like, they re-signed him at all if this is all they were going to do for him. Because he's, I mean, if nothing else, just turn him face and see how that goes. Or I don't know. They need the heels, though. I don't know. There's so many places they could use him on the card. And they're using him in really bad ways. Because, I mean, this, him doing this, suing Impact, yeah, it might be funny. It might be like Chris Jericho in WCW in 1998 with the conspiracy theorist stuff. But Eli Drake should be above that at this point in his career. And it's going to be more campy comedy for weeks.
I just hope he can pull it off. That's my only little faith. You know, he's such a good, I don't want to say actor, but, you know, he just has these great expressions. And, you know, I really, you know, I mean, I do laugh and I do get a chuckle, you know, just even how he works with the crowd, even like on Sunday, he's just working with them. And so hopefully he could pull it off, you know, make lemonade from lemons or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I hope so, too.
And the last thing I want to talk about was, I don't know if you guys heard or what, but Impact was talking to El Patron earlier about a potential comeback. Did you guys read about that or anything?
That was a rumor earlier in the week, and I think PW Insider came out a day later and said that it was false. So yeah, it was okay, rumored. Good. I think it was on God. Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, I forget where it originated from, but there was a rumor going around that they were in talks with El Patron about a return and that his issues were behind him and everything. And PW Insider had really good coverage of the Impact tapings this week. I think Mike Johnson was on location. I know he was at the pay-per-view, and I think he was at both sets of television tapings as well. And they were able to shoot that rumor down pretty quickly that there's been no communication with El Patron, which is good. I mean, that would have been like strike seven with him. I don't know how many times you need Alberto El Patron to kick you in the face before you start to realize it hurts. He's screwed that company multiple times now. So yeah, that would have been a huge mistake, but it seems like it was all false and was never, there was never any truth to it.
That would have been strike seven for me. I would have been gone.
I think a lot of people would have been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But their viewership is already tanking. It's going to tank even more. I hate that guy. So, all right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for taking my call, and I'll hopefully get to talk to you next week, man.
All right.
Sounds good. Thanks for the call, Matt in Bakersfield. Now, Matt is going to have a little easier time calling us next week because Bakersfield, it's only 8:30 out there right now. West Coast time, baby.
Oh, wow, yeah. Nice.
So we may actually hear from Matt because Matt's got the hookup. We'll be 9 o'clock his time when we go on the air.
Dang.
All right, Andrew. Anything else we need to add or touch on before we see? This is what I mean. This has been an hour and 36 minutes. We've gone very long tonight. This is what we need. Yeah. This is what we're going to avoid starting next week. We're going to be like half the time. But anything we want to, we haven't touched on before we ride off into the sunset for our last 10 p.m. Eastern live cast.
Yeah, no, I don't think so for now. Thanks everyone for joining us at this time. Hopefully you can join us at our later time. Otherwise, listen to us on demand. That always is good as well. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll keep plugging away in some form or another. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think the majority of the people, I'm sure, listen to us on demand anyway. So they probably are like, yeah, who cares? Right. I care. I'm going to have a lot less sleep, but whatever.
Yeah.
I think it'll be good. I think we'll be fine. I mean, who knows? Maybe, like I said, we get 3 weeks into this and we're like, oh, this is terrible. We can't keep doing this. We got to figure out, you know, plan B. But we'll see. I think it'll be okay, especially if we're able to tighten it up. You and I, if it's just you and I talking, we can get out in 45 minutes. I have no issue or no worries about that whatsoever. It's going to be, week to week thing. I think if there's a lot of stuff to talk about, there may be weeks where we go longer. Who knows? Hopefully we're able to keep it tight. I think the most we'll go is an hour. I think that's kind of like our hard out will be the 1 hour mark, especially at that time of night. So that's okay, though. It just means that we can't go on in as many rants about people getting stabbed or murdered, or, you know, we'll have to get over our rage a lot quicker.
Yeah, we'll keep it shorter and snappier too. So, if you want to, let's see, pwpodcast.com. Got a lot of good stuff up there. I was going to plug something specific on the show. The interview with Don Callis. We don't have it up at the moment, but James Hayes is doing a great job covering the Not Sam Roberts wrestling podcast. So that'll probably be up in the next day or so. I'm excited to read that.
I'm in the middle of listening to it.
Very cool. Very cool.
I got about 25 minutes into it, and then I had to get out of my car. So,
yeah. So check that out. The Pro Wrestling Podcast. The Pull Apart is a VIP exclusive. With Caitlin Lavelle, Jeff Aguinaldo, and assistant editor at pwpodcast.com, Jeff Rush. Check out their show. And if you want to follow me on Twitter for some reason, Andrew, SOUCEK. I'll go on. I'll log back in someday.
Okay.
You
can follow me on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. And Andrew, I think that is all that we have to say. So for those of you who are joining us live, it is now 11:39 Eastern. As of next week, we're going to be 21 minutes away from going on the air. But thank you for tuning in every week and downloading every week and calling every week. You know what we should do, Andrew, because we haven't done this in a while. Because of the late night hour, we'll probably fire up the email address again.
Great idea.
I keep forgetting to check that every week. But we do have an email address for the show. It's impactlivecast@gmail.com. So if you have any impact questions, let's say during the show next week and you don't want to call, or during the week over some type of news that breaks, shoot us an email, impactlivecast@gmail.com. Share your thoughts, share your questions, and we'll get to them on the air. That actually might be the way to go. Instead of taking calls, emails might actually be the better way to do this, because we'll be able to get through them quicker. So yeah, impactlivecast@gmail.com. We'll start doing that again next week, because we've forgotten about it for months. Mostly it's been my fault. But yeah, we'll do that next week, because we will be on the air at midnight Eastern. Impact moves to 10 p.m. Eastern next week. They'll go 10 to midnight. Andrew and I will go midnight to, like, hopefully 12:50. We'll see. For now, though, we are done for this week. So I'm going to go and stay up and practice staying up late. And see how late I can make it tonight. Andrew, thanks for your time. Thanks for everyone's time for listening to the show. And I think we'll talk to everybody next week, right?
For sure.
After dark.
I'll be here.
The live after cast. After dark.
Leviathan prototype after dark.
After dark. Oh, man.
There we go.
There you go. That's what we got. We'll have that next week. Thanks again for tuning into the live cast. Andrew and I will talk to you next Thursday. Or actually, no. Next Friday. Oh, this is going to be weird. Yeah. Hold on. It'll be Friday for me. It'll still be Thursday for you.
Yeah, it will be.
This How about is that for some out. Type of mind warp, huh? I'll talk to you on Friday morning. Andrew will talk to you on Thursday night, but we'll be talking to you at the same time. Hear that? I just heard people's minds explode.
I think mine just did.
Yeah, we just blew some minds right there. That's what we're here for. We're here to make you smarter. So,
right.
Each and every week, and we will continue to do so. So, again, for the fifth time, thanks again for listening. Thanks again for calling. Andrew and I will talk to you next week at midnight on the livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. No!